When you were in the service, you'd hear reports from the war, I would imagine, and what's going on. Even though you guys were in the band and traveling, you knew what was happening to the United States and Germany and all that.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that a little bit.
Every day we would be informed what's going on. We toured from Giwan Samar, the southern tip of the Philippines, to Manila. We played Army, Navy, Air Corps, CB, and Marine bases, five different types of armed forces bases at that time. We always heard the latest developments. We all thought we were going to Japan until the atomic bomb was dropped and we knew we were going home soon.
Where were you when you heard the news about Pearl Harbor?
I was working with my dad in the bakery that Sunday morning. We heard the news.
1941, December 7th.
Correct.
Then the country went to war. And then why was it you thought you were going to Japan?
We started out in Washington, D.C., the West Coast, played the Danny Kaye Show, then on to New Guinea, from New Guinea to Samar, and played Army, Navy, Air Corps, Marine, CB bases all the way up to Manila. We were playing in Manila when they dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima.
How did you hear about that? Do you remember the moments?
We were informed within a few minutes after it dropped that it occurred. And all those men and women in that area, in armed forces, were headed for Japan, really. That would be the next stop.
Okay.
But fortunately, we missed that.
Yes. Other members of the Army, say, you were in the Navy, but in the Army were over there just gutting it out in war and feeling the battles of war and all of that.
Yes.
Was it an everyday thing that... Wow, I can't believe I'm over here doing this. And how did you
handle that?
How did you think about that?
Well, I just thought I sure must be one of the luckiest persons on earth to be doing this job while men are out there fighting this war and winning it.
Mm-hmm.
They were great, those fellows.
Yeah.
I was just most fortunate to do what I did and was always grateful.
The Navy obviously felt that was an important position. You were out entertaining.
Absolutely. The fellas really loved it because our shows, they were just jam-packed. Standing room only for those shows. There were thousands and thousands of fellas in the audience, wherever we were, regardless of the weather.
Had to make you feel good to be able to entertain them and take their minds off whatever they were thinking about.
Well, we did. We felt lucky and we felt privileged to be able to do it. The troops, they really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
They really enjoyed it.
1941, 42. Remember rationing going on?
I sure do. I remember the gasoline rationing and some food rationing.
Tell us about the gasoline rationing. How did that work?
Well, you received an allotment for the given period of time for gasoline. And you were allotted so many coupons to purchase gas, literally. If you use those up, you're just out of luck. That was your gasoline quota for that period. I remember people trading those stamps and so on.
How,
to say, you know, I'm out of gas stamps, and could I purchase some for you? Well, we'll give you some or whatever.
Because it was stamps for other products.
Yes, there were. There were stamps for food.
So you might trade food for gas or something back
then. That's right. I personally didn't do it, but I had friends that did.
How did you get those ration stamps?
As I recall, they were mailed. You applied, and you got your allotted stamps for gasoline purchases and food purchases.
Did you always make it through the month without?
Oh, yes. Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. Everyone cut down on the amount of driving and so on. I recall that.
This is all before you went in the service. This is as you were experiencing that at home.
Yes, sir.
Any memories of hearing presidents on the radio, like Herbert Hoover was your president in 1929 to 1933, when you would have become 5 and 6 and 7, 8 years old. I don't know if you ever remember hearing about him.
Absolutely.
You do? Tell us about that.
Well, I've heard him speak on the radio. I've seen, of course, in the newsreel, Fox Movie Tone News always came up with the latest in all the presidents and so on, made those programs.
The Fox Movie Tone, you'd see that in theaters, wouldn't
Surely
you?
Surely we would.
Wouldn't you see these so-called maybe documentaries, which would be about the war?
Yes, sir.
Would that be before the main feature film playing?
Usually following the feature.
So that was put out by the government to keep the public informed of what was going on.
And then always an ad by war bonds.
Right.
So most of us purchased war bonds in those days.
Next president was FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Did you remember hearing him and his fireside chats? And
yes, I remember hearing his fireside chats, etc. And Before our band pulled out, we were at a meeting where Roosevelt appeared, and we had to go there, the band. And it was a combined band. We had about a 100-piece band that went there, and we played four Ruffles and Flourishes and Hail to the Chief for Roosevelt.
And where was that?
Washington, D.C., before we left to go to the West Coast.
You remember seeing him there then?
Oh, yes.
Was the band close to him, so
yes.
You really had a good view of him?
Oh, yes. Yes. Any senior officer in the military, and of course the president as commander-in-chief, they had a certain musical signature when they appeared, and it's Ruffles and Flourishes. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. So you play four Ruffles and Flourishes for a four-star general. At that time, there were no five-star generals until MacArthur came along. For the president, four Ruffles and Flourishes and Hail to the Chief. For a general or an admiral, four Ruffles and Flourishes and the Flag Officer's March. You probably don't know that one.
Was Roosevelt in a wheelchair at that time, do you remember?
He would never appear. They would bring him to the meeting. He would stand up and usually hold on to or lean on the lectern, and they would take the wheelchair away. It usually wasn't in evidence that he was in the wheelchair. He didn't like to be perceived as handicapped in any way.
As a band member, sometimes beforehand you see things that go on. Did you see them roll the wheelchair in? And then
yes.
You did see that happening?
Yes, we saw that happen there.
But it wasn't a surprise to you because you knew he had polio?
Everyone knew that, yes. He was the hero of the March of Dimes for polio.
It seemed for a long time they tried to keep the whole idea that he had polio away from the public.
Yes, they just didn't want to talk about it.
And then finally he admitted it, didn't he? And,
yes, yeah. He had poliomyelitis, which at that time was a scourge, really. Left many people paraplegias.
Did he speak then that day?
Yes, he spoke. He was a great speaker, as you know. He spoke for 10 minutes.
Well, that must have been a special experience for you.
Yes.
Because that would have been the only time then you saw him up close like that, probably.
I saw him in a parade in Des Moines with Alf Landon. Alf Landon was in one open convertible, and FDR was in another. This would have been 1933 that we were visiting some of my mother's relatives. We went to Des Moines to see the parade, and I recall seeing Roosevelt and Alfred Landon, who ran against him on the Republican ticket.
And ran many, many times on the Republican ticket.
Ran many times from Kansas.
Yes.
Never won.
You were about 8 years old then when you saw him.
I was just a boy, but I recall seeing them.
Remember seeing him with a cigarette in the
holder? Cigarette holder. Yes.
Yeah.